Now, this is a direct voice spirit communicator who came through on July the 16th, 1966. His name is Terry Smith. He was a sailor and went down on the Hood. And we've had this verified by the Admiralty.
Good morning, friends. How are you? Okay, nice, you've come through. And,
I'm telling you, I know you.
Peter?
Well, I don't remember. No.
Who is it speaking? You don't remember me? You sound very familiar, I don't know.
That sounds very clear,
huh? You might be a fool.
Friends, can you come along here to your name, please?
Extraordinary.
Yes?
You know, I may have quite a public habit of this business. Oh, very different. Strange, too.
Oh, well, could you give us a you talk about your sunlight or something? Friend, we should be very pleased if you were.
I have so much about spiritualism and spiritualism. Communication and all that sort of thing. It's still so strange to me. I think once I get through the meeting, and I couldn't do very much about it. I suppose it was partly my fault. Really, I still find it all very strange and very fascinating. My name is Terry.
Terry?
Yes. My name is Terry. I'm in no way linked or, you know, anything like that, but...
Is that your Christian name or your surname?
That's my Christian name. I came over here during the war. I was on the Hood.
Oh,
on the Hood?
Yeah.
But we're your surname, Terry.
So weird, isn't it?
Oh, didn't you talk?
How odd you love sitting there. You look strange, you know, I mean, I suppose it's strange for you in a way, too, listening to somebody, you know, sort of speaking like this. Must be very odd and very strange. Oh, I'm here with a crowd of chaps.
Who's
well, thanks. When I first came over, I was so sort of bewildered. I suppose like a good many boys chaps do come out of, you know, I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know. It's every man for himself. I mean, there's a, well, man, I think none of us really had a chance, you know, sort of got, well, hopeless.
It's
very puzzling, all this, isn't it? I mean, I suppose people are people who, well, I remember years ago, Dr. Jessica, there must be, there was an answer to my huge interest in spiritualism, but I think, yeah, I mean, the way I suppose I didn't take it in. It's an odd business altogether when you come to think about it, that, you know, people think we're dead, you know, I mean, it's fantastic, really, but really I'm more alive now than I ever was. I sometimes come back, you know, but I lost interest in coming back. It seemed rather pointless business for me to think about it. After all, there's not much to come back for, and I didn't have any sort of, I suppose it just didn't fill me out after a few weeks or, you know. Seems strange, this business there, to me. You're a spiritualist, and I suppose you've been in it for donkey's years, haven't you? You look old enough to have been out, you know, I suppose you have been there a long time.
Well, the thing of his person is what I think you see.
Terry, can you describe your reaction when you found yourself still alive? I mean, what happened to you? Was that possible for you?
Well, that's not impossible, but, I think that the first thing I remember was going up a street. It's a street that I'd never seen before. And as a matter of fact, I couldn't realize at first that it wasn't a real street. Although it was a real street, it's not a street that, you know, I've been used to. It was all very attractive, you know, lovely trees on either side of the road. And lovely houses, there was such nice houses, you know, little bungalows and dotted about here and there, and big houses, and He was so attractive, and I just couldn't make this out too, you know. I didn't recognize the place, and yet it seems as if it could have been somewhere. Oh, I don't know, perhaps in California, so of course it was what I've seen pictures of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
White sort of boulevard of trees and soapy lawns and pretty little village houses and, you know, but it was like a sort of well laid out village, really, but I couldn't make it a tower of it. But I found that there was nobody else about. It's just that I was all around me, you know, it's odd, you know. I didn't even realize fully I was dead, I suppose. I thought I was probably dreaming, I suppose. I don't know, it's odd. But the road was not a bit familiar, and yet there was something about it that, I don't know, gave me some sort of peculiar inner confidence, I suppose. Meanwhile, I just walked along with all these very pretty houses that seemed as dead as the day they had, not a sound, you know, nothing. Then I come further along, and I saw a very sweet lady, a pretty woman she was, I saw anyway. She could look to more about 28, 30, standing at a little gate. It was the first house that I've seen with a gate, by the way. All the other things had no entrance, there's no gates, they just walk up the little path to the front door, sort of thing. But this one had got sort of, it's on the end of the wall. I'd like walked about a while, and there's this sort of inside. And I thought, well, it seems a bit odd, you know, after all the other houses being free of fences now. Anyway, this was an old day, this little woman, you know, she was standing there. And funny thing about it was, she looked young, and yeah, I felt she was old. Sounds stupid, I know, yeah, yeah. But she did have this gate, and as I came to her, she sort of smiled, you know, oh, I don't know. She seemed to be only one eye, and I stopped and she said, you're looking for something, Sonny. I thought, probably. I said, yes, well, sort of, you know, I don't quite know what's happening or where I am. Of course, she says, that's all right, Sonny, I've been waiting for you, come in. So I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose, you know. So I thought, I'll go in. So at least there's someone talking. She took me into the front door. I suppose you'd call it a parlor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little room it was, very nice. Chintzy curtains and chairs, and she all looked very homely. There was a cat sitting in one chair, a beautiful black cat. And all the girls were like, you know, cats. Can't be decent cats. She says, come on, son, he's been down. So I sat down in the old chair with the cat. She says, she said, would you like a drink? I thought, well, she's something lying in there. Well, I've been dreaming. I thought she's going to offer me a cup of tea or something. So she says, yeah, I thought, please, you know. So she says, what would you like? So I thought, well, I was going crazy, you know, a little sip of a drink, you know. So I said, oh, I'd like a lemon, see. She says, would you? She says, all right. So she goes down and comes back with a glass of lemon. I thought, well, I don't know. So she says, you know, you don't have to worry about something, I've been waiting for you. So I says, waiting for me. So she says, yes. So I didn't know what to say. I sort of sat there and she says, you know you're dead. So I says, what? She says, you're dead. I says, come on, I can't be dead sitting in a room with a cat over there and give me a glass of lemonade. And you're solid and real enough, I can't be dead. I said, I mean, it's all a bit strange. I said, at first I thought I was sort of having a dream or something. So she says, well, it's no dream, Sonny. She says, you're dead. So I says, well, if you say I'm dead, how'd they get here? So she says, well, that's all right. She says, I was thinking and praying for you, and I've been given charge of you. So I says, what do you mean, given charge of me? So she says, well, she says, when your ship went down, and it suddenly came to me when the ship went down, last thing I remember, you know, was in the bois, holding onto a part of wood, I don't know what part of the ship it was, anyway, it's a bit of wood that was clinging to, so it might hold me up, you know, but of course I realize it's hopeless now, but anyway, she says, you were drowned. So I says, oh. And she says, there's hundreds and hundreds of players, she says, that have come over. So I says, well, so she says, yes, and fill you one of those beds, so someone, somewhere, look after them. Some have got their own people, relations and friends. Some have got other souls, and one who's in charge of you. She says, you didn't realize, she says, but you were directed. You thought you were walking on your own up the road, she says, but you wasn't. She says, you were being helped by inspiration from the soul whose job it is to help people when they come over suddenly like you did. So she says, oh, yeah, you know, sort of listening, right, not quite taking it all in, you know. So I says, well, I don't understand this at all. So she says, well, don't you worry. She says, you stay with me. I'll look after you. I'll be like your mum. So I thought, well, that's something, you know. And as we started talking about my people, as well as shook me, for she seemed to know all about my people, about my mum and dad and how they sort of separated, and about my sisters who was in the range of them all that otherwise, and she says nothing about it. So I says, well, are you anybody related to us? And she says, well, not really, she says, but it was part of my job. So that's not being about your people, being as though I'd like to look after you. And so I says, well, that's funny. I says, you salvation just come over, do you know about my life, you know? So she says, oh, well, that's not difficult. It's only a matter of tuning in, she says. Tuning in, I says, that's not the word. She says, oh, well, we can. She says, if we have any special reasons or wanting to know about a particular person or person, she says, and there's a special work that we have to do, and we've got some sort of connection there that's necessary for us to know things, and we tune in. She says, then later on, she says, I can't. She says, we'll go see your people. So I says, all right, because so she says, of course, she says, you know, they won't know you're dead. I mean, they won't know that you're there. They'll know you're dead, but they won't know that you're still alive, you know, that you can sort of watch them or go see them, you know. So she says, you mustn't be too upset. They won't take any notice of you. So I says, oh, well, I says, I did have an aunt who was a spiritualist. So she says, well, that's good. She says, perhaps you can get something through that direction. You never know where to try her. She says, well, the time being, she says, she must try and be content to be here. She says, I'm going to stay on Earth, she says. And one day, when he comes over here, we should be together again. I expect we shall, she says. But in the meantime, she says, I'm going to look upon you as if you're my own son. And she says, I'm going to do all I can for you and try and make you happy. And you're not to worry, and you're not to sort of feel, you know, sort of alone and like that. She says, and then later on, she says, when you've rested, she says, I think you should rest. She says, this has all been a bit of a help for you. She says, I'll take you out and you'll be able to do all sorts of interesting things in our community. So I says, oh yes, that's very interesting. Then all of a sudden, during the middle of the conversation, this cat did the most funny thing I thought. It may sound silly, but it jumped off his chair, and he came up to me, and he fell at his hind legs, and he looked up at me, and he sort of cocked his ears up, and he didn't know, didn't make no noise like a cat, because it's just as if the thing spoke. I said, I knew it dropped, I was so shaken. She says, oh, she's don't worry, she says, you'll get used to that. She says, the animals, she says, over here have developed to a great extent their ability to make themselves understood. Of course, on Earth, in a way, they can do that, but we don't hear them speak, because they have the languages we understand, but then we hear their thoughts are such that they can sort of vibrate, she says, the atmosphere, and you can hear the sounds, and it's merely their thoughts being transmitted to you so that you can hear them. And she says, this cat says, how are you? You know, and I thought, my gosh, this is quite mad, you know. Cats don't say, how are you? And I didn't know what to do, what to say. She says, no, but she says, you get used to that. She says, animals, she says, are much more sensitive than people realize. And they have their own knowledge of things, and they can transmit thoughts, and they can pick up thoughts. And you will get used to the fact that animals can convey a great deal more from this side than they can on earth. Anyway, I got fully adjusted to the idea, and I said, very well, thanks. It seems as if the cat said, I don't say the cat said yes, but it seems as if it said, well, I hope you'll be happy here. And I thought, well, this is most peculiar. Then the cat went back, sat on the chair, and curled up. And so I was asking, so I went to sleep. Because I still couldn't get this story. She said, no, well, you should understand that animals have a great capacity of understanding. And over here they can transmit their thoughts, same as I can transmit mine to yours, without even the effort of speaking if I want to, so that you can read my thoughts and I can read yours. Thought is a real thing to us and it's very tangible. And that's why animals can communicate by thoughts. She said, no, this was me. But you know, so got me out of the nurses coming as this now.
Pretty interesting.
Okay. Oh, Terry.
That's very interesting.
Of course, gradually, as I got sort of familiar with everything, and a little later, I suppose it was rather later, she took me out, and what appeared to be, I suppose, a stunt, although she told me later it was no stunt, but it was the illumination from which all of us, you know, all life was able to draw some sort of, I don't know, I suppose some sort of power. But the illumination was, the funny thing about illumination, this may sound odd, it didn't seem to cast shadows. Although she said that in some places the light did cast shadows, but it seemed to me as if anything was totally bright without being harsh. And there didn't seem to be any shadows, and it didn't seem as necessary to withdraw, as it were, from the light, because the light was so pleasing and pleasant, and it wasn't over, what you say, hot, you know, it didn't feel like a pleasant warmth, a sort of physical, a sort of radiance, I suppose. Anyway, we went out, but I went out with her, she says, well, and she just pulled her head and locked your door, she wishes there's no need for that here, you know. And much to my surprise, as we went out, the cat got up and walked out and followed us. And he was walking along just as if it was, well, I don't know, you'd pick a dog on a cat, I suppose. So she's talking away to this cat. She says, all right, come on, sort of thing, you know. She kept calling it Nelly. I thought, what, Nelly's a funny name for a cat. I never heard a cat called Nelly before. And she must have sensed my thoughts, because I found out after a very short time that I didn't have to speak to her. She knew what I was speaking. So she says, you think it's an odd name for a cat, don't you? So I said, well, Nelly. I've never heard a cat called Nelly. I suppose there's no reason why a cat should be called Nelly as well as Kibbles or something, you know. And she says, well, Nelly's the name that my mother gave this cat. I said, your mother? I said, oh, I'll say cat. Of course, this cat must be now, judging by the material age, is about 60 odd years old. So I said, 60 years old. I said, I don't know, really cats every now and then, you know, quite like a lark, you know. She says, well, she says, actually, of course, everybody has many lives. She says, you're having an extension of your life, but you'll find you have an extension of this life, and so on. Ad infinitum, she put it out, you know, I thought, well, I don't know. All this is a bit too much. She says, you grasp it all later. She says, you mustn't think that just because you're dead, so-called, that you won't have an extension of life to a degree whereby you'll eventually be introduced into another condition of life. So I said, I didn't quite get that, you know. She says, well, put it down, Jean, then it worries up. She says, you know, she says, you'll find that all life is really an extension of a previous life. In other words, she says, you go on and on heading Phoenix now to Mississippi, and it is to exhaust this plane or this sphere or this condition of life in which you are now eventually, she said, you'll realize that there's nothing more that you can learn here or nothing more that's necessary to you here, and you'll feel the urge and the need to extend your experience and your path into a different existence in a higher sphere or plane, as she called it, where you're be able to appreciate and learn and experience all sorts of things that you couldn't possibly experience on this. She says, well, that may be a long time yet. She says, there's so much that you've got to experience, so much you've got to learn. And she says, you have every opportunity given you to study and to take an interest in so many different things. And she says, you know, if you want to, you can do almost anything, whatever you'd like to do or be. She said, when you were on Earth, you were very keen, worked on music. So I said, well, how did you know that? They said, well, you were, weren't you? So I said, oh yes, I used to be very keen on the piano, but I never really was any good at it. So she says, when you have every opportunity, if that's what you'd like to do, be a really first class pianist, you know. So I said, well, I can't imagine myself being a great pianist. I said, I like good music, and I used to. Yes, Clyde. She says, oh, well, we shall see, won't we? She said, no, that's right. She says, when you're more settled, she says, when you're more tone, let's we'll see what we can do. Anyway, she took me up to this. And there again, she's been there another thing. I told you when I came up the road in the first instance, it seems as if the place was empty. It was like a place where, well, like a dead sea. Place, you know, where no one at all. And then everything looked clean and nice and clean, fresh and everything. So as if everybody gone for an afternoon's guest on my arrival sort of thing. And anyway, this time going up early, it was as if everyone was out standing at the door or coming down to the pathway, you know. And goodness me, I did not very far the road, as if because it was surrounded by people. All sorts of people, young and mostly young people, one or two seem to be elderly, and yet looking back on it, I realized they weren't old, but there was something about them suggested that there was age, and yet didn't look old. I can't explain that, but anyway, they were all sort of shaking their hands and calling me by name. I thought, well, that's odd, everybody knows my name. Everyone's calling me Terry, as if I knew all the lives. And they itched, and I realized afterwards, of course, that there's very different escapes than if new persons coming into the community, or a number of people coming from Earth into that community, which is, I found afterwards, was a special community, really, of souls whose task it was to help newcomers and to guide them and to welcome see what in this person. They now speak up. This is something we can do. She says it may be very difficult for you, very sad for you, because they don't realize that your heart was settled when you are hanging and can't be on there. But you did see it on the interest of everybody else on there. But then when she says, anyway, now I'm not any more powerful. I don't think I'm late now. But, you know, a lot of people still feel innocent. Me, so you can, you know, see if you can help on the spinal work. Yeah.
Can you give your surname
up for your name? Yeah, my surname is, I know it sounds common, I mean, it's Smith.
Smith,
yeah.
Where do you run
my
hood?
On the hood.
On the hood. I had to wait until another time, I'm sorry.
Well, it's very nice.
I don't remember you. I've met you before.
Maybe
anyway, perhaps another time.
Yeah,
I can't hold on.
Right,
I do.
Come through.
Things begin.